We left off with the thought in verse 13, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And that phrase, made nigh, is in the Greek, genomai egis. I love that. To be made near enough to touch. Okay? And so that, those of us, and of course he's referring to Gentiles here, ye who are sometimes were far off. And then going on in verse 14, let's have somebody go to Exodus 11, someone to Leviticus 10, someone to Deuteronomy 7, and someone to 1 Kings 8. So in verse 14, Jesus is our harmony. And the word there, if you want to look it up, is shalom, which we've all heard or heard about, I'm sure. Jesus is our harmony because he has poieoed us both into his one and only body. He's only got one. And we've both been made into that. He's made us both one. And he did that by dissolving the barrier that stood between us, Jews and Gentiles. That is the wall of separation that was prescribed by the law of Moses. And you may be familiar with the fact that in Solomon's temple, they had an outer court, a court for women, and then the inner court. And at the outer court, the Jews had signs in the entrances that went from the outer court into the court of women. The Jews posted signs in several different languages warning non-Jews to proceed no further upon pain of death. Wow. Okay? And this was no doubt the point of controversy when Paul was taken captive there at Jerusalem in Acts, what was that, 21 time? 20? Mm-hmm. Okay. The charge was that he had brought Gentiles into the inner court, which was not, of course, not true. But that would have been an offense punishable by death. That's how serious this wall of separation was between Jews and Gentiles. But in Exodus 11, whoever's there, verse 7.
But against any of the children of Israel could not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel.
Ooh, okay. So this didn't originate with Moses. God did this, with the difference between Israel and all other people. Leviticus 10, whoever's there, verse 10.
And that ye may put out difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean.
Okay, and then in chapter 20, Chris, verse 26.
And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have separated you from other people, that ye should be mine.
Ah, separated from other people. A little bit of discrimination going on there. Deuteronomy 7, whoever's there, verse 6.
For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth.
Okay, and in chapter 14, Bob, verse 2.
For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth.
Okay. In chapter 26, verses 18 and 19.
And the Lord hath allotted thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken.
And then in chapter 28, verse 9.
The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, that thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways.
And whoever's in 1 Kings 8, verse 53.
Thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God.
Okay, so this is just a few of many examples that you'll find where it was made very apparent to Israel that they were separated out. Okay, they were to be a holy people. And there was to be a distinction between them and all the other nations of the earth. Okay? Now, dropping down to verse 15, that word enmity is number 2189 in the Greek. If you want to look it up, it more correctly means, it's a little stronger than that, it means hostility. Okay? So it's not just a bad feeling. It's a little further than that. Let's have somebody go to Genesis 17. Someone back to Deuteronomy 14, someone to Judges 14, someone to 1 Samuel 31, and someone to Ezra 10. And whoever gets to Genesis 17, verse 14.
And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh is of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant.
Okay. There again, pretty strong words. If someone was not willing to be subject to the ordinances imposed upon Israel, they were to be put to death. Deuteronomy 14, whoever's there, verse 21.
Ye shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself. Thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is in thy gates, that he may eat. For thou mayest sell it unto the alien. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see a kid in his mother's milk.
Okay, so here, any time an Israelite came across roadkill, they weren't supposed to eat it, but you could give it to the Gentiles, let them eat it. Judges 14, whoever's there, verse 3.
Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well.
Okay. We don't always get the seriousness of Samson's request here. And his parents were pleading with him, cautioning him, can't you find a woman that pleases you among our people? I mean, why do you want to go out to these foreigners? They knew it was going to be trouble, and certainly it turned out that way. 1 Samuel 31, whoever's there, verse 4.
Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword, and thrust me through therewith, lest this uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took his sword and fell upon it.
Okay. So even Saul here knew enough that he didn't want to be slain by a non-Jew. Okay, it was a shame to be slain by a Gentile. And you can kind of appreciate the poor armor bearer, you know. Boy, talk about being between a rock and a hard spot. You don't dare put your set your hand against the Lord's anointed. But the Lord's anointed is saying, kill me before the Philistines get a chance to. Okay, let's have somebody go to Psalm 1, someone to Isaiah 52, and someone to Ezekiel 31, And whoever's in Ezra 10, verse 11.
Now therefore make confession unto the Lord of your fathers and to his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from Spain's side.
Okay, separate yourself from the people of the land. Psalm 1, whoever's there, verses 5 and 6.
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Okay. And in Psalm 5 there, Tammy, verses 5 and 6 there.
The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful men.
Okay. And then in Psalm 22, verse 16.
For dogs have compassed me and assembled of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet.
Okay. And here you have prophetically the Lord referring to non-Jews as dogs. Okay. He did later on, of course, in person. But you see it here even prophetically. Let's have somebody go to Matthew 15 and someone to Acts 11. And whoever's in Isaiah 52, verse 1.
Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. There shall no more come into thee uncircumcised and the unclean.
Okay. Ezekiel 31, whoever's there, verse 18.
To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God.
Okay, and then go to chapter 44, Hagen. Now you notice in these last two verses, it's talked about the uncircumcised. And if you go to Romans 4, Kai, where Paul talks about circumcision being a sign given to Abraham. All right? He was the father of the faithful. That sign, that seal, set him apart. And it was very important to his descendants, to the Jewish people. And so you'll find many references in the scripture to the uncircumcised. It always referred to those who were not of Israel, okay, not willing to be part of Israel. So in chapter 44, verse 9.
Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary, of any stranger that is among the children of Israel.
Okay, and this very easily could have been one of the scriptures that gave the Jews reason to post those signs that I told you about at the doorways that went from the court of the Gentiles into the court of women, that prohibited anybody who was not a Jew going any further upon pain of death. All right, Matthew 15, whoever's there, verses 26 and 27.
And the superscription of the circumcision was written over the king of the Jews. And with him, they crucified two
thieves. No, that's 15.
Is that 15? 26 and 27? Matthew?
It was Mark 15.
Ah.
But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table.
Okay, so here you have the Lord in the time of his earthly ministry referring to a non-Jew as a dog. Okay, it was that simple. And you may also remember that many times in the New Testament, particularly the Gospels, there was also a lot of enmity towards the Samaritans, who were half Jews. Okay? So there was definitely a difference to be had there. Acts 11, whoever's there, the first three verses.
And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them.
Okay. So Peter was called on the carpet. You can't share a meal with uncircumcised people, Peter. And they were ready to roast him over it. And until he and the men that were with him testified as to the fact that the Lord divinely ordered that, and it sounds to me like the men who accused him were believers. And until they were convinced that the Lord had divinely ordered Peter's steps, they were ready to roast him. Okay? So, when Paul says here in verse 15, the enmity, that is the hostility, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, you get a little feel for just, you know, that wasn't just idle words. There was a real hostility there. It was a real thing. Now let's look, and then he goes on in verse 16, and then he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. So we have, again, two groups here, and let's go through a few more scriptures to see this. If somebody will go to Isaiah 11, someone to Zechariah 9, someone else to Romans 1, someone to 1 Corinthians 1, and whoever gets to Isaiah 11, verse 10.
And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious.
Ah, so there is hope for us who are far off. Okay, Zechariah 9, whoever's there, verses 9 and 10.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of the ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea, even to sea, and from the river, even to the ends of the earth.
Hey, aren't you glad that he came and spoke peace to us?
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, Romans 1, whoever's there, verse 7.
To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, and to be saints, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, Paul writing to the Romans was writing first to the Gentiles. Okay? Not to the Jews, even though he met with the Jews first when he got there. His letter was to the Romans, the Christians in Rome. Chapter 5, James, and verse 1 there.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay? And again, remember, he's addressing Christians in Rome. Okay, there would have been Jews among them, but they were Gentiles. Those of Caesar's household, for instance. Then go to chapter 10, James, and verse 15.
And how shall they preach, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things.
Okay, and that was certainly true of Paul. Okay, he brought glad tidings, and he was also the apostle to the
Gentiles.
Oh, yes, okay. And then finally, James in chapter 15, verse 33.
Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Okay, with you all. I didn't hear anybody excluded from that blessing. Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's have, if somebody's at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3.
Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Who was Paul writing there in Corinthians?
Gentiles.
Corinthians, okay? Greeks, mostly. All right. You'll find the same thing in Galatians 1, verse 3, and also in Colossians 1, verse 2. These were largely Gentile congregations, okay? So the blessing of God, the peace of God, was brought to those which were afar off. Now let's look at some examples of them that were nigh. If somebody will go back to Isaiah 9, someone to Jeremiah 29, someone to Ezekiel 45, and someone to Haggai 2. And in Isaiah 9, whoever's there, verses 6 and 7.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a Savior is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice henceforth, even evermore.
Okay. Peace upon the throne of David. All right, so this is referring to Israel, first of all. Chapter 26, Nita, and verse 12.
Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. Thou also hast wrought all our works in us.
Okay, the us there, of course, the prophet was Jewish, so it's speaking of Israel. Chapter 52. And verse 7.
How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth.
Ah, okay. Spoken to Israel. And finally, in chapter 53, verse 5.
But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Okay, and of course Isaiah would have had primarily in mind as he wrote that, we being Israel. Okay, Ezekiel 45, whoever's there, verse 17.
And it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings, and meat offerings, and drink offerings, in the feasts, and in the new moons, and in the Sabbaths, in all solemnities of the house of Israel. He shall prepare for the sin offering, and the meat offering, and the burnt offering, and the peace offerings, to make reconciliation for the house of Israel.
Okay. Let's have somebody go to Matthew 10, someone to Luke 1, someone to Acts 10, and someone to Hebrews 13. And whoever's in Haggai 2, verse 9.
The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts.
Okay. Speaking again of Israel. Matthew 10, whoever's there, verse 13.
And if the house be worthy, then your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, then your peace return to you.
Okay. Peace upon, and who did Matthew send, or Jesus send his disciples to preach to?
Israel.
Okay. Luke 1, whoever's there, verses 67 through 79. This is Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, speaking.
And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name, and they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea.
Through 79. Okay. 67 through 79.
Okay. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Okay. Now, can you pick up on the rejoicing in Zacharias' words there? And remember, he was typical of anybody and everybody in Israel that was looking for that salvation. His words were typical of the hard attitude of anybody like that, that the Messiah had finally come. Okay? All right. Chapter 10, Holly, and verse 5.
And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house.
Is that 10:5?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead and read the next verse.
And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it.
Okay.
If not, it shall turn to you again.
Okay, so again, the Lord speaking to his disciples to go unto Israel. Acts 10, whoever's there, verse 36.
The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all.
Preaching what?
Peace.
Peace. Wow. Didn't we just read in verse 14? He is our peace.
Amen.
Okay? So they were preaching exactly what Jesus was to Israel. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 13, whoever's there, verses 20 and 21.
Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And those two verses were part of a letter written to who?
Jews.
Yeah. Hebrews. Okay, so what I'm getting at here is Paul talking about the middle wall of partition and abolishing the enmity. You see that all along, God's plan of salvation was available to everybody. Okay, but God took Israel aside and set them aside to be an example. All right, not only to themselves, but to the rest of the world. And there would come a time, and we read prophecies about it, when his salvation would come to the Gentiles as nations as well as to Israel. Okay? Up to that time, his salvation, like I said, was available to everybody. Some of you may be able to think of individual Gentiles in the Old Testament that were saved. How about Melchizedek? Was he a Jew? Mm-mm. Okay? How about
Abraham?
Abraham. That's right. He was an Iraqi. That's right. What about who was Bathsheba's husband? The Hittite.
Uriah.
Very likely a born-again man, or I doubt he would have been as close to David as he was. Okay? So they were there. Okay. So he says again in verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, notice that, please. It's not just therefore, it's now, therefore. Ye, Gentiles, are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Let's have somebody go to Galatians 3, someone to Colossians 3, and someone to 1 Corinthians 12. The terms Gentile Christian or Jewish Christian are not scriptural. Whoever's in Galatians 3, read verses 27 and 28 for us.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Okay. Underline that statement. Ye are all one. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity, your nationality, etc., 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 ad nauseum. We are one. Okay? Colossians 3, whoever's there, verses 10 and 11.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all.
Okay, that's twice. Yep. That's sufficient witness. But let's go on. 1 Corinthians 12, whoever's there, verses 12 through 27.
For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they are, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you.
Is that through 27?
Oh, no. Nay, much more. Those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care one for another. For whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular.
Okay, that's three times. We've been told that we are one body. All right? Okay. James, keep your finger in chapter 7 there. If somebody will go to Philippians 3 and someone else to Romans 6. So, there are no Jewish Christians or Gentile Christians. We are all but one body. Okay? And notice the use of the word fellow citizens there in verse 19. That is number 4847 in the Greek. And the word literally means together citizens. Amen. And it's one of those soon words. And when you have that prefix soon, it doesn't just mean with. It means intimately one, intimately joined. Okay? So we are together citizens. In other words, natives of the same town. That's what the word means. And guess what that town is? Whoever's in Philippians 3, read verse 20.
For our conversation is heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Together citizens of the same town, the heavenly Jerusalem. Yeah. All right? Only one conversation, that is citizenship, is spoken of and allowed in Christ. Okay? There's not two. There's not dual citizenship. There's only one citizenship spoken of in Christ. That citizenship there in Philippians 3:20, it's number 4175 if you want to look it up. It means to behave as a citizen. All right? It comes from 4176, which means to live as a free citizen. In other words, a free man. All right? Not a bond man, a free man. James, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 22.
For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant.
Okay. Anybody in here been called of the Lord to salvation?
Yes.
You are the Lord's free man. Okay? That word free man is number 558. It means one that has been freed or emancipated. And whoever's in Romans 6, verse 18.
Being then made free from sin, he became the servants of righteousness.
And verse 22.
But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, in the end, everlasting life.
In chapter 8, Sam, verse 2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Okay. What was the operative word that was common to all three of those verses?
Made free.
Free. Okay. All right, let's have somebody go to Galatians 5 and someone to James, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Whoever gets to Galatians 5, verse 1.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Okay. And then verse 13, Nina. Okay.
For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Amen.
Okay, what a calling. By love serve one another. 1 Corinthians 9, James, verse 19.
For though I be free from all men, yet I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more.
Okay, and if you'll go now to chapter 1 and hang out there, somebody else, let's see. Well, it might just be James. Looks like we're going to stay in 1 Corinthians for a minute. Okay, now if you think about a house, a building, I'm sure you've all been in a structure, a house, a building, where you've seen cracks in the walls or in the floor. Mm-hmm. That means one thing. Somewhere, part or all of the foundation has settled. It wasn't stable, right, Larry? Okay. The house of God has no cracks or other defects in its foundation. It's built upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. That foundation doesn't move.
Amen.
So, if cracks appear, and by that I mean strife, dissension, separation between saints, it's not due to the foundation, folks. The problem is in the walls. Okay? So let's look at a few of these. 1 Corinthians 1, James, verse 10.
Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Okay? You see that phrase, perfectly joined together? If there's a problem, if there's a crack, it means the saints are less than perfectly joined together. The Lamb's wife will have no such wrinkle. Somebody turn to chapter 5 here in Ephesians and read verse 27.
That he might present unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Okay, without blemish, no wrinkles, no blemishes. All right. Chapter 3, James, 1 Corinthians, the first three verses.
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men?
Okay. If there's cracks in the walls, it's because they are babes, they're carnal, and or they are walking as men. All right? It's nothing wrong with the foundation. That phrase, the word man there in that portion is the Greek word anthropos, and it means to be man-faced. Or maybe we should say Adam-faced.
Mm-hmm.
As in Adam the first. Yeah. Adam the first, that's unbelievers. Who in here, I'll get a sign-up sheet out, who in here wants to act and look like an unbeliever? Not me. Okay. All right, James chapter 11, verses 17 and 18.
Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you.
Okay, there's cracks in the wall. Those cracks are not for the better, they're for the worse. And the Lamb is not going to marry the worse. Okay? All right. Notice in verse 21, Paul says here in Ephesians 2, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. That phrase, fitly framed together, is number 4883. It's another soon word. So you can take it as an example of just how closely things are joined together. That word means to fit or join closely together. We can join two boards together, Larry. How many have ever seen a piece of furniture that had more than one piece of wood in it, and you had to look carefully to see where the joint was? Anybody seen a piece of wood or furniture like that? That's fitly framed together. Now, Joe isn't here tonight, but if you ask him, he's got a piece of metal, as I remember, it's a block. And it was cut on his fancy machines. And he handed me that block one day. And, you know, it's just a cube of steel. And I'm looking at him, holding it up to the light. Okay, Joe, what's the point? looked like just a cube of steel. Mm-hmm. Handed it back to him, and he grabbed it and slid it apart. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that, and when I picked my jaw up off the floor, I said, "Do that again." And he handed it back to me, and I looked at it again. I could not see where the seams were. That's fitly joined together. And that's a very poor example of what the Lord is doing with us and wants to do with us. Okay? All right. I think we'll stop there for tonight because we've got some more to say about this thought. I hope it was a blessing to you.